following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. As a current student athlete, I find myself wondering how someone like me can all of a sudden get paid for playing a college sport. If you have similar questions, I will be breaking down the ins and outs of the new college name, image, and likeness rules to keep you up to speed on everything happening in this new world of college sports. Welcome in, everyone. You are listening to DJ Parsh, and this is Transfer Season. Last episode, episode 3, I discussed what some of the descriptive rules are regarding state laws versus NCAA laws regarding NIL, and I just kind of went into a deeper dive about all of that. And this is my first episode in a couple weeks. Last week, I was on spring break. It was nice. I got to see my grandparents down in Arizona. We went up to Sedona for a day. That was really cool. Really beautiful area there. Super, super cool. Came back. One of my friends from Utah, one of my old teammates from soccer, visited me as well. Haven't seen him in a while, so that was really nice too. Overall, good break, but it's really good to be back. So to start off, it was interesting when my buddy from Utah was here visiting. We were talking a little bit about what college sports is like and how we've been putting so much effort and energy into our sport. And it's nice to see our peers, not so much our peers, but people like us, college athletes, getting rewarded for all the hard work they put in. And that kind of leads me into what I'm going to be talking about today, which is which colleges and which big conferences are benefiting the most from NIL. I'm also going to be talking about how the NIL is going to change the whole college sports landscape. But to start off, right now the schools that are benefiting the most from NIL is what you would probably assume to be, you know, the bigger name schools. Quote, the Power Five conferences. The Power Five are the five athletic conferences around the country that are considered to be the most elite in college football, and some would argue also college basketball. So the conferences that make up the Power Five are the Pac-12, which is located here on the West Coast, consists of schools like USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, schools like that. Then there is the Big 12, which is kind of in the South, kind of in the Midwest, but that consists of schools like Texas, Oklahoma, Baylor, schools like that. Then there is the Big 10, which includes schools like Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, big Midwest schools. Then there is the SEC, the Southeastern Conference, which includes schools like Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Arkansas, schools like that. And then there is the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference, which includes schools like Clemson, Miami, North Carolina, Duke, schools like that. So as you can imagine, these schools with the bigger name schools in these conferences are obviously gaining and benefiting the most from NIL right now. Not every school in each of these conferences are going to be getting the best opportunities as some of the other schools in these conferences. So for an example, in the Pac-12, schools like USC and maybe UCLA are going to get better investments and better athletes because they have the big brand such as USC, UCLA, even Oregon or Washington. But those schools, because they have more money, because they are more well-known, and because they have the biggest and best brands, they're going to benefit the most from NIL, and that's just the way it works right now. Until there are strict and specific rules and guidelines put in place, these bigger schools in each conference are going to keep dominating the college sports landscape. And you can see it with schools like USC, like Miami, Alabama, Texas, these schools are attracting the top players and even the top coaches because these players and coaches see it as the best investment opportunity for themselves and their families. An example of this is former Oklahoma football head coach Lincoln Riley made the decision to leave University of Oklahoma and head over to USC and coach that football program, which came as really a shock to most people in the college world and the sports world, because it's not often you see a coach of a big program like Oklahoma just leave all of a sudden. And a big reason for this was college NIL. USC, as big of a brand as Oklahoma is, USC is, you know, Los Angeles, California. You got the best recruit, some of the best recruits in the country, all right there. And it's USC. I mean, if you're a top football or basketball recruit, why wouldn't you want to go there? So he saw the opportunity for not only himself to benefit, but for him to elevate the USC program to what it once was. And shortly after he made the switch, his quarterback at University of Oklahoma, who was just a freshman last year, Caleb Williams, also made the decision to leave Oklahoma and join him, Lincoln Riley, at USC, which is also something you don't see a lot of, really, in college sports, just because if you're a top athlete and you go to a top school, why would you switch from that top school to a different school in a whole completely different location? It's because of the investment opportunity that comes with making the switch. Now, Caleb Williams, according to an article from Bleacher Report, has landed his first NIL deal since he transferred with Beats by Dre, Dr. Dre Beats. And it's no surprise this happens almost immediately after he transfers from Oklahoma to USC. You know, Dr. Dre, Beats being a California-based company, Apple being a California-based company, Apple owns Beats by Dre. It just kind of all worked out for Caleb Williams, and he saw this opportunity for him to follow not only his coach, but follow what he thought would be the best opportunity for himself and to build his brand and benefit himself and his family. It's not just himself that he's looking after. It's his family and people who helped him get to where he is, who he's trying to now help. And you can't blame him. Most people would have done the same thing if they had an opportunity like this. You know, if you see a different job that you are qualified for and it pays more than the job you're currently at, why wouldn't you make the switch? So this is just kind of the start of what is bound to happen with college NIL. More athletes, more coaches are going to make the switch to bigger and more well-known brands and programs around the country because it's simply a better investment for themselves, and they can benefit by landing the best recruits and promising those recruits the best NIL opportunities. So it's a whole recruiting tool that college NIL is being used as. And really, that's not the point of NIL, but it's what it's turning out to be, at least right now, until, like I said, there's more structure and more guidelines. And this all goes back to what I was saying in my previous episodes about how this is going to change the transfer portal in college sports. With the new transfer portal being that athletes can now play immediately after transferring, you're going to see so many more transfers because they don't have to sit out for that full year, and because obviously they can earn money if they go to a bigger and better market. It's very similar to pro sports. You know, you see tons of big name stars in the NFL or NBA make the switch from a small market to a bigger market. For example, LeBron James. he made the switch from Cleveland, Ohio, twice actually he made the switch. First, he went to Miami, Florida. That was more of a basketball move than a brand move, but his latest switch where he went from Cleveland to Los Angeles Lakers, he did that not only to benefit himself as a basketball player, but to benefit his brand. And he saw the opportunity in LA to build his brand. And it was just as much of a business decision that it was a basketball decision. And like it or not, this is the way sports, in college sports specifically, this is the way that they're moving towards. And colleges, coaches, athletic directors need to acknowledge and realize this, or else they're going to get left behind, like you've seen with Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma is going to be fine. They are still a top 10 football program in the country. They're not going to have a huge all of a sudden drop off because of this. But this is the way college sports is moving, and like it or not, you just need to accept it. And as I said before, this is only the beginning of big changes coming to the college sports landscape. According to an ESPN article, congressional bill introduced would allow college athletes to form unions and become employees of their schools. So according to this article, college athletes who are compensated by their school for their athletic ability, whether that be through a scholarship or by any other means such as NIL, they should have the right to organize and collectively bargain. So the NCAA, to say the least, is not happy about this. They feel that this is not the answer right now. And in response to this bill, a spokeswoman from the NCAA said that, quote, college athletes are students and that the proposed legislation would undercut the purpose of college, earning a degree. Which she does have a point in that college athletes are not full-time employees. They are students first. However, I thought this quote from Lori Trahan, who is an American politician and used to play volleyball at Georgetown before her time in Congress. She said, quote, "The NCAA is a system that collects massive amounts of revenue off the backs of unpaid labor, funnels it upward, and offers no way for the athletes to negotiate the compensation, safety, or playing conditions they're owed." And this was, I thought, a really well put quote that gives the basic person an idea of what the NCAA is as a whole and how they're using the millions and millions of dollars of revenue that college sports bring in every year to their benefit, and none of it is going back to the athletes directly. And this is what many people want to change, because these athletes are putting in so much effort and so much work into their craft, just like any other job, and they're not seeing benefits or anything in return. So that's the main argument there. And I'm not sure how this bill is going to go, whether it's going to be accepted or not. It's going to be really interesting to follow. However, I'm going to do my best to follow it and give as many updates as I can in the coming months. So hopefully that intrigues you a little bit more into what I'm going to be covering for the rest of my episodes. Next week, I'm going to be talking about how college NIL is impacting coaches, athletic directors, and even non-athlete students that also go to these schools. What are their reactions to what is going on in the college sports world right now?